Welcome into the Michael Walsh Show. We are here with a wonderful guest today, Meringue Pack. He is just a terrific gentleman, 23-year history, career, wonderful career in the FBI, CEO of Envia Capital. And I loved hearing his story. And I thought, I got to share this with you as we talk a little bit about living your faith. You know, we live in a world today where a lot of people are saying, well, should you really talk about that, or that subject's taboo, or what does that look like, or you got to live a compartmentalized life. This is your faith life, this is your personal life, this is your business life. And to that I say, I disagree. I think you are who you are, and I think the authenticity shines through in all that you do. So today we're going to talk about his story, what it looked like with not only living out his faith before the FBI, during the FBI, as a CEO now of a company, and challenge and hopefully encourage you to be able to live yours more intentionally as well. Today on The Michael Walsh Show. All right, so Meringue is a great guy. We've been involved in the business side of life, doing some different things, helping families save a bunch of money in taxes. But I wanted to bring him in and talk about his story. So, Meringue, first off, thanks for joining us on this show, The Michael Walsh Show.
I'm happy to be here, Michael.
So tell us a little bit about you. You shared off air, Meringue, the idea that you were a little bit, you know, wavering in what you wanted to do in life. And I think if we're all honest, that's a place we've all been before. Like, I'm uncertain. I'm not sure. What do I want to do with my life? What am I here for? Why am I here? You're wavering a little bit, and then you're in a place where you got an opportunity to be a part of the FBI, and you pressed pause and said no for a season. So let's start there and talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, so I met a FBI recruiter my junior year in college, and so impressed with all that he said. And I knew at that time that I wanted to be a part of the organization as an FBI agent. So I actually went to Korea for a year, learned how to read and write the language, and just, you know, brush up on my vocabulary so I would be considered fluent in the language. It's one of the programs that you can enter into to be an agent. So I did that, came back. And
how was it in Korea, by the way, when you were doing that?
Wow, man, you know what? I have a clan on my mother's side, and I just fell in love with my whole family that, you know, I really didn't have access to, right? So that was great. It was great reconnecting with the culture and being with my people.
Yeah.
And the food is outstanding. So, I have no complaints in my year in Korea, but I did find a chemistry professor that was willing to teach me in the language of Korean and learning how to read and write. Mm. And he said, in exchange, I want you to teach my grad students proper English and pronunciation. So what he did was we read the Bible every morning.
Wow.
We read the Bible every morning. I read it in English. They would repeat it. And then so that went on for 30 minutes. And then afterwards, he would do one-on-one tutoring sessions with me where I was brushing up on my Korean language ability.
That's incredible. So now you went to Korea. So you wanted to become an agent with the FBI. They said, we'd like to select you. We have a need for someone that is fluent in Korean, the language. You went there for a year, did your thing. Now you're back at the States. Yeah. Where do we go from there?
Yeah, so it was an investment without any guarantees on my end, so I made...
So you covered that cost?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, the Bureau did not send me. I just wanted to be qualified to be able to apply and be considered for the position. Mm-hmm. That was it. That was the only guarantee. That was the reason I went, and so there was no guarantees. So with me, I had to take... three different testing phases with the FBI. One was the initial phase where it was a 4-hour cognitive test. And if you pass that, and if I think back then you only about 15% of the people actually passed the first phase.
Wow.
Got, you know, afforded the second phase, which is the interview part. And so I was afforded the interview part and then passed that. And then I had to go through the language fluency test. So I really had three testing phases, and then you had the background check and then your polygraph. So in all five different, you know, stages. So all along that journey, before each testing or process, I would pray fervently to God, God, help me to pass this test. You know, please help me. You know, this is my dream. And so each time I would pass, and then the next one came, I would pray fervently again. And then finally, Michael, when I knew that I was in, I made it to through all the testing phases, and all I was waiting was on a class date, I did a quick thank you prayer on my knees. And I felt like when I was getting up from that prayer, that I felt this gut punch to my stomach where I felt like, wow. You know, when I really need something, I pray fervently to God. And then when I didn't need him anymore, it was a quick thank you prayer. And I recognized that I was a hypocrite. And I think I shared with you, that was the one character that I hated in people growing up, is two-faced people, or, you know, hypocrisy. So recognizing that about yourself, it really hurt.
And how old were you at this time?
I was 24.
Okay, so you're 24 years old. You had grown up in church, you had mentioned to me, but you kind of just... You just kind of played the part.
I did. I mean, my family went to church, so I went. And honestly, after, high school, when I went to college, I stopped attending church because I saw a lot of hypocrisy in church. And so it turned me off. And
were you in Atlanta at this time?
I was actually in Florida.
Oh, in Florida. Okay, yeah.
I was in Jacksonville. So That's my, religious background, but I never lived a life.
You never created the relationship.
No.
And I want to press pause real quick, because I think there's a lot of people, as they're listening to this via podcast or watching this on YouTube or other social media outlets, I think a lot of times we look at life and you hear a lot of people say, and Meringue, I've heard a lot of people say this, well, you're just more religious than I am, or I'm not that religious, or I've had a bad experience with religion or whatever it may be. And the answer is, many people have had a bad experience with religion, which is a man-made organization, right? This idea of encountering the true and living God is about the idea of having a relationship with the creator of everything, which is incredible. We have the opportunity, obviously, to do that through Jesus Christ. So that's what you were kind of, you had gone through a religious experience. You'd gone through a religious process, but you had never encountered really that relationship with Christ. So here you are. You got accepted by the FBI, the agency. You're in a place where you're getting ready to go and you're doing your thing. And you've told the recruiter you're good and you're ready. Now what happens?
Yeah. So backing up, after that prayer, I promised God. I said, hey, I know I'm supposed to have this personal relationship with you, and I know I believe in you, but I don't know how to do that. How do I form this relationship with you? And I said, I will do my part. Can you please help me? I got up from that prayer, and it was the first time it really was a sincere, unselfish prayer where I was crying, and
you knew in your heart it was genuine.
Absolutely.
This time it was different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I felt like God was just reaching out and grabbing me and chasing after me. And so I started reading Genesis, doing my part, and I got bored real quick. I think within 4 days, I stopped reading. But God is faithful in that within 7 days, I think it was almost 7 days to the day I prayed, I'm at the gym and I meet a guy. I'm really annoyed by him not getting off his leg press machine. And he actually turns around and starts talking to me and, seemed like a cool guy. And then, at the end of that conversation, Michael, he asked me, hey, you haven't been to church in a while. Would you like to come out to church? And I'll never forget this. My mind said no, but my mouth said yes.
You're like, what?
So trying to be a man of my word, I went to church with him. And his name is Derek, by the way, still best friend to this day.
Wow.
And went to church, was blown away by the fellowship. I saw so much love within that fellowship. Seemed like they were best friends.
Yeah.
And I'm not a trusting person, so I didn't even really believe it. I'm like, this is fake. And so I went to almost everything, every event that they had for about 2 months, and realized, wow, these guys are best of friends.
Something's different here.
Something is different here. How are they like this, right?
Yeah.
And they knew so much about each other, and their conversations were so deep. And I'm like, I've never experienced anything like this.
Wow.
And so he asked me to study the Bible, personal one-on-one studies. And I did. And from the first study, it was a discipleship study. And I knew then that I was not a disciple of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I just believed in God. Mm-hmm. I didn't live the life. I was not a disciple. And I made a decision that I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and he studied these foundational studies with me over the course of, I would say, 3 months, mm-hmm. maybe twice a week. And I was baptized, and I was on fire. I never have felt that alive before. Mm. Sharing my faith wherever I went. Mm-hmm. Every server that encountered me, they were invited to church.
Yeah.
And so it was an incredible experience. And then the pastor actually asked me, hey, you're new to the faith. You're a baby Christian. You told me about how you wanted to really help your sisters become Christians. And you wanted to learn more. And now you're about to go to the FBI Academy, and you told me that, hey, you don't know where you're going to end up. You may end up in a small town. What kind of fellowship are you going to have? And so just a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I felt like without him really saying it, that I needed to trust God and grow in my maturity and my faith, and then help my sisters also become Christians.
And I love that part of this story, because, you know, I think so often we can find ourselves running to the next. You know, what's next? What's next? What's next? And we often can miss out on what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to grow in this current season. And I think a lot of that comes from, you know, the Western culture that we live in, which is, you know, bigger, better, more. There's nothing wrong with more stuff per se, as long as we have our minds in the right perspective. But, you know, sometimes being still in that season and allowing our roots to grow deep, so that way when we enter the storm, which we will.
Yeah.
You know, I love the thought that, you know, you're either in a storm right now, you've just come out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go in a storm. In other words, that is the process of life. That's the process of growth. That's the process of the journey, and getting your roots deep matters. So now you're in a place where you say no to the FBI. You want to take some time. You get your roots deep. You told me off air you're going to be in a place where you minister to your sisters. You watch them grow in faith. You watch them come to Christ, be baptized, all of this amazing things. And now 2 months later or 3 months later, whatever it is, you call back up the FBI, and what does that look like?
Yeah, when I told my recruiter that, you know, I wasn't going, I don't know. I felt like I wasn't even hearing the words he was saying, because I couldn't believe I was
We're
telling
saying this. Yeah.
And yeah. So, you know, and he didn't quite understand, but that's okay, because I knew the decision that I had made.
Yeah.
And so
most people don't get accepted to the FBI and say, I think I'll press pause and not go right now.
Yeah, no. And he told me that I don't know how many times, but it was an opportunity lost for sure. Yeah. I had to go with what I thought God wanted me to do right after being baptized. So,
and I think that's a good point, Meringue, because a lot of times when God is leading, it doesn't always, from an external perspective, it doesn't always make sense.
Yeah.
You know, I think back to the story of Abraham in the Bible, and God was leading Abraham, and, you know, I'm going to paraphrase a lot here, but he's basically saying, well, where do you want me to go? And God's like, don't worry about it. Just go this way and I'll tell you, you know.
Or Noah, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or Noah, yeah. Like, hey, build an ark and the rain's coming, and everybody's like, what's rain, you know? So the idea is it's kind of like God often will lead you, and it's this faith journey. It's just constant process of, do you trust me?
Yeah.
Even if you don't see it, do you trust me? There's a verse that's coming to my mind, and we'll put it up on screen here for you, but it's Romans 12:1-2, which says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This idea of transformation, we've maybe seen the movie Transformers, and we see a car turn into a robot or whatever it may be. I remember when I was younger, I had some of those toys, you know. You watch the movie. But it's the idea of transforming from something into something else. And so, you know, God has said, obviously, in his word, your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. We think to figure things out. God's already figured everything out. He's omniscient. He's omni all knowing, whatever you can help me, whatever, all knowing. Essentially, I'm messing it up here for a minute. But the bottom line is God knows everything. And so here he is knowing everything, and we're in a place where we're saying, God, help me figure this out. And if we get in and we get connected to the source, then wisdom comes. And you are in a place where you are making some decisions that people around you externally saying no to the FBI initially when you got accepted was like, this doesn't make any sense. I want to fast forward a little bit. I want to get on the journey and help the listeners kind of understand this part of your life a little bit, because you spent 23 years at the FBI. Tell me, if you don't mind, maybe just one or two stories just for time. What does it look like, Meringue, for you while you were at the FBI? Maybe one or two things that maybe pop into your brain as far as you being able to live out your faith, or maybe having to make a decision morally to do the right thing, even though the group went over here. What did that look like for you?
Yeah. No, I would first have to say that FBI is an incredible organization with a lot of integrity. I know there's some things been in the news lately where we got into the higher-ups, got into some political stuff, but as an organization, it's phenomenal. Hmm. And I will say nothing bad about it. Mm-hmm. But to your question, I had to take being the FBI, you're put into a lot of difficult situations, even your personal safety. But the thing that was scariest to me was when I decided that I was going to host Bible studies in the Miami office as a supervisor here.
Wow.
And being able to actually get permission to do that was a bit of a fight. And then really putting my faith out there was very scary, because I couldn't do it in email. So I had to put posters up all over the office saying, hey, I'm going to have these Bible studies on Wednesday during lunch. And so I didn't know what people were going to think about me, right?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, how long were you in your career this season? Like,
I would say this is probably 12th year.
Yeah, wow, okay.
So, and really, your reputation in the Bureau is everything.
Oh, it's paramount, absolutely.
Internally and externally. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so that was probably the scariest thing I've ever done in the FBI in my 23-year career.
Wow.
And so,
what kind of response did you see?
Initially it was like three people.
Yeah.
And then there was more and more.
Yeah.
And we had regulars, and then we had another group of just some of the agents that had morning Bible studies. Mm-hmm. And so gosh, in a week I'm involved in two Bible studies at work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was tremendous. And I still communicate with those people that were in those Bible studies, you know, a decade later.
Yeah. You built real relationships that were deep.
Yeah. And, you know, the things that they spoke about during the Bible studies, they were real deep, talks and personal issues that people were going through. Mm-hmm. And it was a tight group.
Yeah.
They felt safe enough to, you know, share some of these difficult things within the group. So it was great to be a part of that.
Well, and I love, you know, when you think about this, a lot of times, and as you're listening to this or watching this, by the way, if you're listening on podcasts and you want to get an idea what Meringue looks like, you probably already know what I look like, but you want to see what he looks like, head over to the Lean on the Wall. That's our YouTube channel, Lean on the Wall. You can check him out there. I know most of you are tuning in via podcast. But you know, one of the things that I will say that I love is the idea that a lot of times people that are believers, right, they'll say, oh, hey, you know, I go to church and the pastor and the team there, or missionaries, or in other words, they're called to be in ministry and I'm called to be in business and do my thing. But I think we have to realize that, you know, we are called to be the salt and light of the world. We are called to be You're going to connect as you're listening to this out there and you're in business or different types of businesses. You're going to connect with people that will never step foot into a church. I love what Billy Graham said. This was years ago. I heard this from, remember DC Talk back in the day?
Yeah.
And there was a little thing on some of their stuff. They said, Billy Graham said, the single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians. People who acknowledge Christ with their lips and then walk out the door and don't acknowledge him with their lifestyle. It's what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. So in a lot of ways, there's many believers out there that their salt has lost its savor, as the Bible says. What good is that worth? And so I want to challenge you and encourage you, as Marang has done in what he's doing. And by the way, a very political space, the FBI, right? It's an arm of the government. Literally saying, okay, I'm going to go do this. And not just say I'm going to do it silently and not tell anybody. I mean, you had to put posters up and stuff. That's fine. But you went and got approval.
Yeah.
You didn't just say, well, we'll just kind of meet for lunch. And I mean, you literally said, I'm going to step out here and get approval to make sure everybody's on the up and up. Everybody knows what's going on here. Nothing comes back to bite me later, which is wonderful. I want to kind of land the plane with this, Marang, though. You know, looking at your 23-year career in the FBI, different roles, different positions, leading different departments, and now the CEO, you know, kind of out in the private sector as a CEO of a company that's involved in strategies that, you know, we've actually, full disclosure, kind of working with, partnered with in some capacity, and helping families save a lot of money in taxes. What, in looking back, you would say, is there a time where you say, man, I wish I would have stepped out a little bit more boldly, and here's why. Is there any time that resonates in your mind just to challenge the listener to say, you know, go for it. If God's leading you, do it. Don't back away. Don't shy away.
Sure. No, great question. And I would say, so I got a promotion to Atlanta as part of the executive staff. And when I tried to get the same kind of approvals there, they denied me.
Yeah.
Saying you're in a different position. You can't do it.
Mm.
I just stopped there. I could have maybe appealed it.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, actually, you inspire me, because when I see you out in social media, and particularly LinkedIn, because that's all I have, I mean, you live your life on purpose, and you did not compartmentalize your faith, and you're living it with your family, with your business, and you say it on social media, and I'm sure you get some probably some criticism, you know, in regards to that, but I'm like, good for you. And so that's what I did not do as part of the executive staff in Atlanta. I didn't really promote my love for God in the way that I should have. And that's the one thing I do regret.
That's awesome. Well, we've been having a conversation, as you've heard and listened to, with Marang Pak, great guy, great story. Marang, I'm going to give you one last thought. Anything else you would say to encourage someone that's listening to this right now about living your faith?
Yeah, I would say, you know, people try to make Christianity very difficult, and it's not about checking boxes, and it's not about what you're doing. If I can break down the Bible, right, in very simple terms, I'm not a very smart guy, so it's got to be very simple for me, is that the entire Bible sits on loving God and loving people.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is it. And all the things that the Bible talks about what a disciple of Jesus does, you will do that because you love God, not because you're supposed to do it, not because you want to be a good person. It's just an automatic response to you understanding how much God loves you.
Yeah.
And it's a freedom.
Yeah, there's freedom that comes from truth. It's interesting you ended with freedom, because I'm literally getting this thought in my mind, freedom comes from truth, and boom, you end your thought with freedom. So I believe that's the Holy Spirit. But, you know, when you think about that as you're listening to this, freedom does come from truth. I mean, think about it. I love what Zig Ziglar said years ago. He said, you know, the best part about telling the truth is you literally can have the worst memory in the world. As you tell the truth, you never have to try and cover yourself up. And I want to challenge you in this, in the reality that as you live life and you live an authentic life, it's not going to be easy. It's worth it, but it's not going to be easy. You will face trials. You will face tribulations. You'll face attacks unjust attacks, by the way, that may come at you that could cause people to say, what in the world is going on? I can't believe this guy, you know, that kind of thing. So at the end of the day, the challenge is to continue to live what you know is right. Continue to live what you know is truth. The other thing that I would encourage you to do is, man, your circle is so important. Get people around you. If you're not listening to the Michael Walsh Show on a regular basis, you know, we got 200 and almost whatever, almost 300 shows now. Go back and listen to these shows. There's great guests. There's great interviews. There's thoughts that I've shared of things that I've learned over the years that I think are so important. Living Authentic was a great show talking about if you're starting out as an entrepreneur or a younger professional, how do you grow and do life in such a way that you can grow in business, but you're new, and how do you kind of get some of those accolades and build trust along the way? But live out your faith, and if you're struggling with where to go or what to do, I want to challenge you to find a quality assembly, a body, a local church that are preaching the Bible and preaching the Word, because you know, one of the things that I know is that we are literally in a place where we have seen the results of what the world has to offer. All you got to do is look around at society right now, and you can see the fruit of what a godless society produces. You know, since the 70s, there's been a push to get God out of church, God out of schools, God out of everything. We'll do whatever we want to do. They want to get in God we trust off the money. Hey, no. We want to live our own life and do our own thing. Parents not being parents, letting kids decide whether or not they're a boy or a girl. And just to heck with this God-given identity, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Let's forget all that stuff, and we will determine what's right or wrong. And I'm going to tell you right now, as you're listening to this and watching this, you have seen the fruit. We see it. The hate, the deceit, the murders, the abuse, the corruption, the calamity. All of this is a result of sinful men and women. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We've seen the result of that. So if we want to change the course of this country, of this world, it has to be done on the back of truth. That's where this country was originally founded and incepted in the first place, which is why you see people today that are corrupt wanting to get rid of some of the principles of the forefathers. Are we perfect people? No. But we are proactive in focusing on what the truth of God wants to do and what God wants to do in and through our lives. And I know you may have even had people in your life as you're listening to this out there where you've had a bad experience. Maybe you've even encountered abuse of some sort from someone who has said they were religious. I can tell you that's why Paul said in Timothy that you are to study to show yourself approved, a worker rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm paraphrasing. In other words, don't just listen to what people in a pulpit have to tell you. Get in the word and study it for yourself. When you know the truth, you'll be able to see a false, phony. That's why when people look at money and they say, how do we determine what's counterfeit? They don't study counterfeit bills. They study the real thing, and they know the real thing. So that way they can determine easily what is a counterfeit. Many of you are light in your faith. Many of you are light in your walk. Many of you are walking around, as Zig Ziglar calls it, a wandering generality. And you're bouncing from here to there, and you're wondering, is this what I'm supposed to do in life? Is that what I'm supposed to do in life? I really don't know. My challenge to you is become a meaningful specific. Get focused. Get dialed in. We have one shot, one chance to live this life. The Bible tells us that this life is like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. So that's my encouragement to you. That's my spur on to you to say, let's stop playing games in our life. And whatever you do, whether it's business, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's sports, whether it's whatever you're involved in, live it out in such a way that is not only with integrity, transparency, but in such a way that it inspires others to be the best version of themselves, really the version that God's created them to be as well. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for dialing into the Michael Walsh Show. I hope you've been encouraged by this show. Wonderful story from Morang sharing his testimony, being a man of faith, not only in a 23-year career in the FBI, but also now as a business owner and CEO. I've been really enjoying his him as a person as we're building the relationship together. And I want to spur you on and challenge you to get equipped with what's necessary. One of the great places you can go to resource yourself, at least from a fiscal place and other things, is by going and heading over to Michael D. Wall, my name, MichaelDWall.com. If you're not following us on Instagram, you can follow me by just heading over to @RealMichaelDWall. Obviously any other social media outlet, we're going to be there. But all that to be said, listen, my challenge to you is two things. Number one, share the show, as I mentioned, because others need encouraged. And number two, let's live on purpose. What does that look like for you? Well, maybe it's just you reaching out to a friend or two or three and saying, listen, let's get intentional. Maybe let's start with John 1, the book of John in the New Testament, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And by the way, this is another just for free. I love this. There's some other religions out there that have skewed the truth even in that verse. There's a religion that actually, that verse, it reads like this. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. There's some other religions that's what their version of the Bible says, because they've changed it. That's not what the true Word says. The true Word says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just that little A word, and the Word was a God, which is put in the false versions, causes people to get distracted and skewed off the wrong path. A God, that means there's more than one, and there isn't. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus was either who he said he was, the Son of God, God in flesh, or he was crazy. Now that's for you to decide. I'm not telling you what to decide. I'm telling you that it will behoove you to say, what does this Jesus person, God person, persona, what does that have to do with me in relation to now and my eternity? We better get it right, because we're going to be dead a lot longer than we're alive. So my challenge to you is get focused, pay attention, live authentic, be blessed. Talk to you next show.